Our Father, you are such a good Father and such a good and faithful God to us, and yet you are also the sovereign Lord of all the universe. There is nothing that is happening in this universe now or at any time, Father, that you do not know about or does not remain under your watchful eye and control. And we're thankful, Father, for that, for you are a God that is both the judge of the earth, as we just heard, but you are also one who provides the Savior for the earth, so that we might come before you this morning in holiness and righteousness, not righteousness that we provide, Father, not holiness that is inherent to us, but instead, Father, it is the righteousness of Jesus Christ given to us. And for his holiness, Father, we are saved. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can glorify you in this way, where we could not in times past, because we were ones who were rebellious against you. We were atheists. We were God haters. We were ones that did not care about you or care to hear about you, Father, or were indifferent towards it. And yet, Lord, you called us out from that and called us to be even in this assembly this morning. And we're thankful for your provision for us in all areas of life, particularly in the work of Jesus Christ and the work of the Spirit to apply it. And if you're calling to us in that manner that would provide those things to us in a very special way that is not, once again, natural to us. But we're also thankful, Father, for our church, for the lives of these people that are here with us this morning, their testimony to each other, their testimony to me. And pray, Father, that you might be honored and glorified by what we say and do here today, that your word might go forth. We know that it will not go forth void, Father, but we pray, Lord, that it would have the intended impact that it has this morning, that it would change people's lives here today, that it would call those who are still sitting in darkness and dead in trespasses and sins, that it would call them to new life, Father, through the work of the Spirit. We pray also for those that need to hear some word of rebuke, perhaps, or some word of exhortation. We pray that that might happen. Or if some need to hear a word of encouragement, Lord, we pray that that might also occur. So whatever it is you have for us today, Lord, we pray that it might occur through your word and through our brother who will speak to us this morning. And we pray once again that you'd be honored and glorified in all that we do. Be with those that cannot be with us this morning for whatever reason, for reasons of travel, for reasons of sickness, for reasons of other circumstances of life. We pray that you might be with them, Lord, to encourage them and to bring them back amongst us quickly. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Thank the Lord for the part that you have in our ministry, for praying for us and for supporting us financially, and we just praise the Lord for that. God has truly blessed us. Has God blessed you this week? I guess. We say, we use the word, God bless you. And I wonder what we think, or what, when somebody says, bless you, or we say, bless you to someone. You know, people in these last 2 weeks, we're here only for 2 weeks, we're going back to Italy next Wednesday. People have asked us, is God blessing your ministry? And what goes through my mind when somebody asks me that? And how am I supposed to answer? When somebody says, is God blessing your life? You know, how do I answer that? How do you answer that? You know, in Rome we say, I've been blessed when we find a parking place. It says, oh, what a blessing. I found a parking place. Or when we have to drive someplace and there's not a lot of traffic. So that was a blessing. I didn't have so much traffic. But seriously, when you say bless you or I'm blessed, what are you thinking when you use these words? When you ask God to bless you, what are you asking God to do in your life? When somebody comes to you and says, God bless you, what are you hoping that God will do in your life? And when you tell somebody or say to somebody, God bless you, what are you thinking? What are you hoping for that life? Or is it just a habit, the way we say, God bless you, when somebody sneezes? You know, is it just a habit? I'm afraid that when you use these words, many times we are the center of the event. Our happiness, our comfort, our preferences are the center of our thoughts. When we're very spiritual and we say, God bless you, we're hoping for the comfort and happiness of the people we care for. When things are not going well according to our preferences? Do we say, well, God is not blessing me right now? Do we think that God is in some ways punishing us and therefore he's not blessing us? Blessing is an expression, or blessed is an expression that we find in Scripture. It's interesting that when we read that word in Scripture many times, it's used in a different way from what we're used to thinking when we use that word. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Here, the blessed person is going through our trial, and we tend to think, if I'm going through a trial, I'm not really blessed. Psalm 1:1, we remember those verses. It says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." Blessed is the person, happy is the person that is not influenced by the sin of those around them. In Psalm 32, it says, "How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." How often do we stop and think that our blessedness is the fact that we don't live the consequences of our sin? Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8, he says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease to yield its fruit." It says, blessed is the man that is able to go through the difficult times, the year of drought, the time in which you're lacking what you think you need, that does not fear. Is that what we're thinking about when we think of being blessed? The fact that we can go through difficulties and know that we have someone to trust, someone who will take care of us. If we look at Scripture, blessed has little to do with circumstances, but much to do with the work that God wants to do in our life and with our relationship with Him. What kind of thoughts do you think when you think about being blessed? When I asked you at the beginning of this message, have you been blessed? What came to your mind? You know, the coronavirus has made us so cynical and so self-absorbed. I've never seen so many people be so absorbed with their health. I mean, and it changed our life. You know, I remember in the beginning, when you go to the store, making sure that nobody got close to you. And they were making sure that nobody would get close to them. And we would walk on the sidewalk, and there were some people would start going like this to keep you from getting too close. So were we unblessed? I don't even know if it's an English word. But were we unblessed by the coronavirus? Politics has divided the United States, but it divides every country. And all of a sudden, a president changes, and we think, I'm blessed or I'm unblessed. I do believe that God wants us to have a perspective that is biblical about blessing. Today we're going to study a psalm that I hope is going to help us. I trust that it will redirect our thoughts, that it will redirect our prayers, that it will redirect the way we think as we live our lives. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. In the midst of all the psalms that are written by David, we do not know who wrote it. But it is God's word. And we know that every psalm, even if David wrote it, was what God intended for us to know. So Psalm 67, let me read it for you. The nations exhorted to praise God. For the choir director, with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. God, be gracious to us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah. That Your way may be known on the earth, Your salvation among the nations. Let the people praise You, O God. Let all the people praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, bless us. God, bless us. That all the ends of the earth may fear Him. If you read this psalm with attention, or if you've listened, you realize that God blesses us with eternal purposes. God blesses His own also for the benefits of those who watch their lives being blessed. God is not interested in merely our personal comfort. We know that God has not given us what we deserve, nor we have what we deserve. We should be satisfied with the fact that we know that we're alive when we should be dead. We should be satisfied knowing that God is our Father. This was a song that the children of Israel were supposed to sing. And at the same time, it was a request, a prayer. And Israel lost sight of what God wanted for them many times. They lost sight of the fact that God had chosen them as a nation and blessed them as a nation to bless other nations. In Numbers chapter 6, in verses 22 to 27, the Lord spoke to Moses, giving him a blessing that Aaron was supposed to say. Verse 23 says, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be glorious to you, gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them." God's blessing for Israel was supposed to be a light to the nations, and they often or almost always forgot and thought that God's blessing was supposed to be all about them. They wanted to always be at the center of the event. This psalm is divided in three parts because we find that word Selah. That word Selah was, okay, ponder, think, meditate on what is said. So it's easily divided in three parts. God blesses His own for His eternal purposes. And we find in this psalm three requests that are inspired by God Himself. And let me tell you what they are. Verse 1, God bless us, we need You. Verses 2 to 4, God bless us, the world needs You. And verses 5 to 7, God bless us, and the world will bless You. It's not wrong to ask God to bless us, but His goal is often very different from ours. It is important that we learn how to evaluate our desires and the goals for our life. When our desires and our goals align with God's plans, our reactions to the situations of life will change. There has to be an overarching desire in our life to see God bless others and bring them to Himself. For us to be a witness to those that are around us. Yes, God does want to bless us, but He always has eternal purposes in mind. We need to rethink about what blessed or being blessed means. We must rethink about our desires. And when we ask God to bless us, and we need to realize that when we're asking that God will bless someone else, that God has a plan. So let's get into the psalm and think about the first request that is inspired by God Himself. It said, God bless us, we need you. It says, God be gracious to us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us. What a great song to sing. Remember, the psalms were songs. They were supposed to be sung. It's a hymn that should be part of our hymn books. A hymn, a song that we should maybe sing in our showers every morning. God, be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. It starts with the word God, Elohim. God is the beginning of every true blessing. It's not our government. It's not the people that live around us. It's not the people that we work for. It's not our teacher, professor in school. It's God. He is the one that truly knows us. He is the one that knows our past, our present, and our future. He knows what a blessing truly is. You know, health for us might not be a blessing. A better job might not be a blessing. Money might not be a blessing. Even better relationships might not be a real blessing. God knows what a blessing is for us, what we need. He says, God, be gracious to us. And this word means to show favor. I implore you, God, show grace in my life. This expression in the Psalms is used to express the idea that we need from God His gracious forgiveness. That's what David says in Psalm 6 and verse 2 when he writes, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I'm pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed. He says it again in Psalm 25 when he says, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I'm lonely and afflicted. And he's talking about his sin. We have the same idea in Psalm 30 in verse 8, in Psalm 31 in verse 9. In Psalm 51 in verse 1, a very famous psalm of David, after his sin, he says, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. This word that expresses His eternal and perfect gracious love. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. David's cry for God's blessing after his sin with Bathsheba was to be restored in his relationship with God, to be forgiven by God. It's interesting that even in the New Testament, often we find request of having grace from God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 13, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. His grace is what truly blesses us. We have no hope without God. We have no real life without the grace of God. The greatest blessing that we have received is that we have been forgiven, that our lives have been redeemed, that God is faithful in spite of our unfaithfulness. His grace should surprise us daily, should humble us. We can't demand or expect grace. We cannot be arrogant when we go to God. We have the privilege of being His children and knowing His grace. Lord Don and I have the privilege of ministering in Italy, and we're grateful for your prayers. And we realize that our greatest blessing is the fact that we have a message to give to the Italian people. A message of forgiveness, a message of grace, a message that changes life, that gives hope to those who have no hope. So here in this psalm, the psalmist is asking for grace. And then he goes on and says, and bless us. And this is a generic term that implies both physical and spiritual blessings. And every honest person needs to realize that we have been blessed by God spiritually, but also physically. Even the unbelievers should realize that God is a blessing. The fact that God has not killed them after their first sin is a blessing. Romans 1 reminds us that God gives life, that God provides, that God protects. God, in His Word, says that He cares for the saved and the unsaved. In Matthew 5:45, it says that He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. In 1 Corinthians, He reminds us in chapter 4 and verse 7, what do you have that you did not receive? The unbeliever does not recognize God's blessing, and God is angry with him because of it. But how sad is it when we as believers don't recognize His blessings in our life each day? Gratefulness should be part of our life. Every day, every moment, the idea of asking God to be blessed should be something that is already filled with incredible gratefulness, because we know that He's blessing us all the time. The psalmist goes on and says, and cause His face to shine upon us. And this was a way of saying at that time to ask God to be present, to walk with them, to guide them. In other words, they were saying, God, we need you. We need you close to shine, illuminate, to bring light. And God is light. In Psalm 27, in verse 1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? And again, I've watched people become so fearful in this time of pandemic. I've watched people in Italy that shut themselves in their home and never walked out of their house for 8 months. They had their groceries delivered to their home. They didn't even have their children come and visit them. They were just fearful. In Psalm 27:1, it says, when God's light is upon your life, what will you fear? The idea is that God is protecting us. He is our joy. Psalm 89:15 says, how blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance. Psalm 119, verse 135 says, make your face shine upon us, upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. I want to learn from you. I want to learn to be the kind of person you want me to be. That's going to be your light in my life. But that's what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Says, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. God has blessed us. God blesses us. We have a relationship with the God who created the heaven and earth. We can call Him Father. He has provided a salvation that is sure and eternal. He walks with us. He instructs us. He has given us His Word. He sent the Holy Spirit to guide us. He has given us the church. Other brothers and sisters, we are truly blessed. We should raise our heads more often and realize that God has blessed us more than we realize, more than we are aware of. But let's remember that these blessings are not only for our own benefits. Yes, the psalmist sang and prayed, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. And then he said, Selah, stop. We need to stop more often. Don't you need to stop and realize how much you're blessed? It would change our life. When we get disappointed, when we become unhappy or even angry with God, if we only stopped, we would realize that we're blessed. But the psalmist goes on, and there's a second request. God bless us. The world needs you. It starts in verse 2, and he says that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. This is not a new concept. Even for the Israelites, it wasn't. In Genesis chapter 12, in verses 1 through 3, he told Abram that he would take him out and that all the nations, all the families of the earth would be blessed through him. The Old Testament is filled with God's blessing on Israel. Blessings that they should have recognized, but we realize if we read the Old Testament that so many things they forgot very quickly. The Red Sea, Jericho, the water from the rock, the manna. So quickly the Israelites would be in a time of need or what they considered their need, and they would say, God, why did you do this to us? Why did you bring us here? Did you bring us here to kill us? He had just saved them, protect them, give them miraculously, and they would quickly say, God, you wanted just to kill us. Daniel in the lion's den, David and Goliath, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, they were all moments in which God was working so others would see His work and His blessing. Are you seeing it? Are you starting to realize that God has a purpose when He blesses us? It says that your way may be known, that your salvation may be known, that the nation may praise you, that the nations may sing. Why? Why does He want to bless us? Because God's way is not known. God's salvation is not known. The nations do not praise God. The nations do not sing the praises of God. Like I said, Loredan and I have the privilege of ministering in a very dark nation. And we're blessed because of this promise that God will bless us so that people will see that He exists, that He is the one that guides our life. Let the nations, let the people know you. But God wants to use us. If you remember in Romans chapter 10, and we often go to this passage when we're ministering to Italian people, because some people say, well, I don't have the faith that you have. You know, how can I believe what you believe? We come to the scripture in verse 11 of Romans chapter 10. It says, for the scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. For there's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You know, we're there. Not everybody responds, but we do have a message. And our blessing is the opportunity to tell others of the God who has blessed us. And the people that are around us need to see us as blessed people. Why? Because judgment is coming. Look at verse 4. It says, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. We have a responsibility to declare the glory of God, his blessing, because there are people, and everyone will be judged, and some will be judged by eternal punishment. How sad is it when believers are only concerned or mainly concerned of their comfort and pleasure, and so they don't declare the goodness of God? They stand in line at the store and they complain about the same things that everybody else is complaining. They go to work and they complain about the same stuff that everybody else is complaining about. The students go to school and complain about the homework like everybody else, or about the teacher. Or you complain about the government like everybody else is complaining about the government. Or you complain about wearing masks, not wearing masks, vaccine, no vaccine, like everybody else. When we complain, when we live like everybody else for the same goals that they have, we are sinning against God. And his plan to receive glory through lives that are blessed and of people that recognize his blessing. When you ask God to bless you, don't lose sight of God's plan. He has a plan to reach the nations. Obviously, sometimes he does answer our requests according to our desires, and that's very gracious of him. But when he doesn't give you what you have hoped for, praise him anyway, because you know he loves and cares for you and has eternal plans for you. Our greatest blessing is to be with God for eternity. And if you're on earth, it's only a time of passage to be with him eternally. God has amazing plans, amazing blessings, and we're privileged to be part of them. In Philippians 4:20, it says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That verse reminds me that it is God who defines our needs. I tend to know what my needs are, and I am sure that I really need that. But God is the one who decides our needs. Do you believe his promises? Do you trust his wisdom? Do you trust his power to give you what he wants? Do you love his eternal plans? God's glory begins with the way he enters in your life, so that others will see, and what it says in verse 3 and 4 will happen. It says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, because they are watching your life and seeing what he's doing in your life. I tell the people in my church all the time, God is God and you're not God. We tend to think that we know everything. God is God and you're not. God has greater plans than your comfort. You're not the center of the universe. God is. And I forget it all the time. I want a marriage that makes me happy. I want a family that satisfies me. I want a job that recognizes my abilities. I want friends that make me feel good. I want health. I want. And when I don't have what I want, I tend to think that God is failing. I start to think that I don't have anything to praise God for, that I'm not blessed. But God's desire is to save the nations. God wants to show Christ to the people. And He will do whatever is necessary in our life to bring glory to Himself. What a shame when politics, when wokeness, when viruses, when circumstances become the focal point. I've never seen people get so angry. And Christian become so angry and so passionate about these things. I get all kinds of emails, of messages. Don't do this. Don't do that. Start doing this. Stop doing that. But I don't remember a time where Christians were so passionate to write to me about witnessing. I don't remember a time when people were sending me messages, oh, we need to reach a world that needs Christ. I don't know if you're one of the ones that sends a lot of messages. And I'm not saying, I'm not taking sides. I don't know. I'm ignorant. I have the excuse. I live in Italy. We're all dumb over there. But every time you get passionate about something that's earthly, think about that you should be equally or more passionate about God's eternal purposes for men. Do we have the same passion God has for the salvation of the nations? Verse 2 says that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Do you care about the people that live in your neighborhood? Do you care about the people that live in your town? Do you care about the people that live in Ohio, in the States? Do you care about the nations that are all around the world? If you care, how does it show up in your life? Does your life undermine the message? Does your life and reaction obscure the glory of God instead of having it shown? If you don't bless God, if you don't thank God, you're obscuring His purposes. What is the problem? The problem is not with God. The problem is with us. When I'm not feeling blessed, it's not because God is not blessing me. When you feel discouraged and down, it happens. Even great men of the Bible fell down, but God turned them around. And these thoughts this morning, I trust, will help us think. Will help us think about the way we look at our life. Because God will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. God will condemn sinners. His justice was satisfied in Christ, only in Christ, only through Him. And I trust that this morning you know Christ as your Savior, that you've been justified by Christ. And we have a responsibility to go in our lives showing and living a life that proves that God has blessed us. Psalmist, the psalm said, God bless us, we need you. He goes on to remind us, God bless us because the world needs you And then he says, Selah again. Stop. Think. Reevaluate what place in your life have the people that you don't even know. Is your world so small that it's all about you? It's all about your family? The psalmist says, Selah. Let's stop. Let's think. How big is your world? God's world is much bigger than mine. I forget. I look at people like obstacles, obstacles to my joy, obstacles to my comfort. In Italy, you can get upset every day. There's so many good reasons to get upset. People get in your way all the time. Bureaucracy gets in your way. Stop. Think. What made you disappointed this week? What made you unhappy? What made you angry? Even angry with God? Should you have been? Psalmist goes on, and after saying, God bless us, we need you, and God bless us, the world needs you, there's a third request. It says, God bless us, and the world will bless you. Verse 5, let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, bless us. God blesses us, that all the ends of the earth may fear him. Let the people praise you, God. God bless us, and he will bless again. It says that the earth has yielded its produce, and it's talking about both spiritual and material blessings. We are so blessed. We are cared by him. He gives us strength. He is faithful. If we want to enjoy the life that he wants for us on earth, and he wants us to have joy, we need to live in accordance to his goals, to his plans, his desires. He wants us to live for the advancement of the gospel, the advancement of the gospel in our life, and that we call sanctification. He wants us to live for the advancement of the gospel in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We call that discipleship. He wants us to live for the advancement of the gospel in the world, and we call that evangelization. You are a voice. You are a living message. God bless us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. For your glory. For your glory, O God. Or do we live for our glory? God has eternal purposes. We are blessed. When we become unhappy, we can be sure that we're looking to ourselves. We have become the center of what I call the event. I think that Ron makes fun of me all the time because I use this word a lot. But I become the center of the event all the time. And God wants us to be the center of all. We lose sight of the end goal that God has, the end goal that we read about in Revelation chapter 7. John was there listening to things that he did not even understand. In verse 9 it says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. We agree. blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. We agree with this. We agree with what you've done. We agree with your goals. We agree with your purposes. That's what we live for. If I'm part of this, I am blessed. The psalm ends with these words. And again, we must stop and reflect. We must stop and ask ourselves, what's going on in our hearts and minds? Do I live my life more disappointed than satisfied? More unhappy than happy? More angry than joyful? Is that right? God bless us that all the ends of the earth may fear Him. Not only that they would know Him, but they would fear Him. It's much more. We need to live a life that is not an obstacle, and we must speak to these people. Missions start in our family and continue in our neighborhood and continue around us, and they go to the ends of the world. That's why we're here. We're not here to be on our knees and ask God, bless me so I can feel better. Bless me so I can be more comfortable. I'm not sleeping well at night. God, please make me feel better. It's God. Bless me because people need to know you. God, make me more aware of your blessings because people need to know you. God, bless me so that I can bless and take the message of Christ to others. May God help us not be an obstacle. May God help us not to obscure His glory, His grace, His loving kindness, that we may be the kind of people He wants us to be. And so when we start our day with these words that are good words, and we say, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, we're not thinking of ourselves. We're thinking of His glory and of His purposes and goals. May God help us. I need to be reminded. I need to rethink what blessing means. Dear Heavenly Father, help me. I tend to think that the most important thing is my life, that my difficulties are so important, so big, so overwhelming that I can't think of others. I forget how gracious you are. The fact that you did not destroy me after my first sin, but you sent your Son to die on the cross so that I could be dressed with His righteousness. And after I became a child of yours, that you did not destroy me after the first sin I committed after that. But you continue to be faithful in my unfaithfulness. Oh God, help us. Help us to look beyond ourselves and see the people around us. See the nations. And trust you to bless us so that we can bless others. And they would be blessed for eternity. We thank you because you've been so faithful and you have your, you gave us your word to remind us. Help us to remember. Help us to grow in our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our God and our Father, we return before you now in this particular form of worship, the worship of prayer. We're thankful that we can come before you. We know, Father, we need to come before you. We know, Father, that as we mature as Christians, we don't become more independent as children on this earth do, but instead we become more dependent upon you. We realize more and more each and every day, Father, this world is not for us, and this is not the intention that you had for us to live in a sinful place, to live with pain and sorrow and suffering, to live with difficulty, Father, to live with those who would hate your name. That was not your intention for us for all eternity. And so your intention, Father, is that we be dependent upon you fully and fully enjoying you without the encumbrances of sin or the encumbrances, Father, of the difficulties of the world. And so we are thankful, Lord, that we can have this time before you to show our dependence upon you by praying and asking your blessing. Your blessing particularly on our brother and his wife in their ministry in Rome, Italy, and for the work that they do there, Father. We know the difficulty of it. They minister in a land that is assumes their salvation based on so much the Roman Catholic teaching that is there and so prevalent. And Father, they do not know the Word of God, and they do not know you. And Lord, that is a sad state to be in, to have that assumption of salvation and yet have no knowledge of the fact of their great need. So we do pray for the ministry there that it might make that need known to them, that they might be clearly shown to see their sin and their awfulness before you, Father, and that they might see your great love for us and that you gave your only begotten Son so that they might be saved, so that we all might be saved. So we pray that you might sustain them in the ministry, that you might give them strength, provide for their financial needs, provide for their health, Father, provide for partnership with others that might minister with them, even as we heard in Sunday school this morning of the importance of that, and that you might provide, Father, for them encouragement in terms of people responding to the Word of God, not only to, even as we heard this morning, to respond first in the call to salvation, Father, but to respond to the call of discipleship, to grow in the knowledge and the truth of Jesus Christ, and to grow, Father, as ones who administer to one another, that the work might expand even beyond the abilities of two or three people, but that all of the, those in the church might be ministers of the gospel to the world that is around them. That is so important, as we know. So, Father, we ask that your blessing might be upon them, and particularly as he comes to preach to us this morning, might you be upon him even in that deliverance of the Word of God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Heard by the Lord. Our Father, we close our service now, and we thank you for this time, the safety you've shown us in this time, Father, and the blessing that we've received by being able to be in the assembly of saints, by being able to sing hymns of praise to you, by being able to open and to read your word, and then to have it explained to us, Father, to have it more fully developed, Lord, that we might now take it and use it in our lives. We pray that you would use it in our lives. That is the most important thing, that you might apply it to our hearts and to our actions. And we pray, Father, that you'd be with our brother and his wife as they continue to travel and return home. We ask that you might give them safety in that and provision for the ministry there. And pray for those, Father, once again, who are not with us this morning, that your blessing would be upon them. Be with us as we go throughout this day. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.